folks, I just want to remind you, you're listening to the Drew Marshall Show, and on the phone with us is Mrs. Kathy Lee Gifford. And where are you right now?
I'm sitting in a beautiful room we call the Sunroom in our home here in Greenwich, Connecticut. The sun's shining. The lilacs are in bloom. I've got a little fire going because it's chilly today, but I feel like it's resurrection time, Drew, in so many ways. I truly do.
Do you mean with you personally? Is that what you're saying?
Personally, in the world, all kinds of things. I think this movie came out when it did for a specific reason. There's no question God does not make mistakes, and everything that the world meant for evil, God means for good. I know that in my own life.
Yeah.
And as I was talking to Mel about all this, it was dawned on me that 2,000 years ago, these people, for whatever reasons, their political agenda, their religious agenda, for whatever reasons, they tried to silence Jesus by crucifying him. And what they ultimately did was cause a resurrection. And with Mel, they tried to silence him by crucifying him, and they've caused a different kind of resurrection. But I know in my own life, and this is what this record's all about, all the things that somebody in this world meant for evil in my life, I can look back on it now and say, but look what God meant for good.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Tell me about Our Loving Eyes.
Oh, this song. We had finished the record, and it was already mixed, mastered, ready to go. And then they changed the release date for all kinds of reasons that nobody cares about. It doesn't matter. And by that time, a friend of mine had come home from Montreat, North Carolina, where he'd been at a seminar, and he'd met with Billy Graham, who's just, I mean, everybody loves Billy. Even people who don't believe Billy's message love Billy.
Yeah.
He's just, the man is love personified.
How do you spell integrity, Billy Graham?
How do you spell integrity? Look it up in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Almost everybody in my family came to know the Lord through Billy Graham's ministry, and
really?
I came to know the Lord through his first movie, The Restless One. Anyway, my friend...
That's when you were 12.
I was 12 years old.
See, I do my research.
You did a great job. And I'm now 14, so I've known the Lord for 2 years, and boy. Yeah.
No, but may I just say that this is just between you and me.
Yeah, and the people listening.
You are the best-looking 50-year-old woman I've ever seen in my life.
Talk to me, big boy.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I haven't had any work done, I promise.
I'm not going there.
But I certainly intend to.
I am not going there.
Oh,
okay.
If I could just find the time for a little nip or a little tuck. I don't need both.
Stop.
Just one or the other,
stop
please.
It. Go back to Billy and Ruth.
Okay, Billy and Ruth. No nip and tuck there. No,
no
question. They're not shallow Christians like I am. My friend had been there, and he had asked Billy how Ruth was doing. No, everybody knows about Billy's health problems, but nobody really outside of their organization is aware
of Ruth's problems.
Ruth has had horrendous health problems the last, at least 6 years, 7 years. Horrendous. To the point now where Billy said, thank you for asking. She's in a wheelchair now, but she has trouble speaking, and she has trouble eating, and he just went through a whole litany of things. But then Billy, with his twinkle, leans over to my friend and says, so we continue our romance with our eyes.
Oh,
and I started
whiz.
To sob my eyes out when my friend told me that story. And I went, oh, my Lord, I want to write a song for them. I want to honor them. Their commitment, not just to the Lord, we're all aware of that, but their commitment
to each other. Oh.
Billy wouldn't be the man of God he is, the ambassador for God he is, without Ruth all these years supporting him, loving him, praying for him, being there with him. What a help me. What a precious woman of God she is. And I just said, we got enough romantic songs in this world. If I hear one more, you know, ooh, baby, what you gonna do, baby? I'm gonna throw up, too. I just can't take it anymore. But we don't have enough songs about real love.
Yeah.
And love that's been through the fire. So that's where this song came from that story. And when I called my mom right afterwards and I read the lyrics to her, she started crying, and she goes, that's Daddy's and my song. And I said, Ma, is it always about you?
it's all about her, really.
I said, excuse me, it's Ruth and Billy. So but we just recently lost my daddy, and I was trying to tease her. But she said, that's what Daddy did when he couldn't do anything else. He just followed me around the room with his eyes.
Oh.
And that's all he could do. He just prayed she'd leave the room. He'd never see her again.
Wow.
And so when she did that, when she said that to me, I realized that we had something. If it's about Ruth and Billy Graham, and it's true about them, and it's true about my mom and dad, then it's true about so many other people that have been faithful, not just to the Lord, but to one another.
For sure.
And served each other in gladness and faithfulness for many, many years. Ruth and Billy are celebrating their 61st wedding anniversary.
Oh.
And look how God has used them. And both of them, please everybody pray for Ruth and Billy. Billy thinks he has two more crusades in him, and maybe it's even more than that, but he's committed to two more. And I just believe that he has just been one of the most extraordinary voices and inspirations for true Christianity in our lifetime.
I need to admit that my prayer life is pathetic, and if I don't pray for someone immediately, then it just becomes a scheduled thing that never happens.
So, Drew, let's pray for them.
Yeah, that's
right
what that's what I was going to say, because you know them. I don't know them from a bar of soap. Will you do that for me, please? Will you do that for all of us?
Oh, Lord, thank you so much for Drew's willingness and his honesty about it. So many of us do that, Lord. Oh, I'll be praying for you. And then we get so caught up in life, Lord, we forget. So forgive us for that, Lord. And thank you right now for the opportunity to pray for these two precious, precious ambassadors for your kingdom, Ruth and Billy, Lord. How precious they are to you. How precious they are to the kingdom of God. We lift them up, Lord, to you right now, that you would touch their hearts, touch their spirits, touch their bodies, touch their love. Whatever time you have left for them, Lord, may it be precious. May it be precious. May they say every word they want to say. May there be no regrets. May they continue to speak the truth of your kingdom until you bring them home. And Lord, honor them for their commitment to you and to one another. And may they continue to be the inspiration for a true Christian loving couple that they have always been. Father, thank you for their representation of the kingdom. Thank you for that they live the truth. They don't just preach it. They walk it every day. And now that they can't talk it every day, Lord, they can say it through their eyes, their loving eyes. And we praise you for that, Lord. In your holy name, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Seems mechanical to sort of keep going. I just want to say that prayer is really connecting me to praying for our spiritual mothers and fathers, those who have influenced us the most. And you have intimated that the Graham's ministry, Billy Graham's ministry, has really had a profound effect on your family.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Your father, Mr. Epstein?
Yes, my daddy passed away a year and a half ago.
In November. And
you do your homework, good boy.
Well, that's he was sick for a long time, though.
He was sick for over 7 years.
Oh my goodness!
And yet he never. I think I remember having one cold in all his life before him. One of those tough guys. Who my father was a son of a Russian Jew, who was a carnival barker, a snake charmer,
right,
and a bootlegger during the Depression.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Hey. Not, as Seinfeld would say. However, that's where my showbiz genes come from. You know? I mean, hardly an auspicious, you know, beginning. And yet a beautiful story about him. He was, every Thanksgiving, he went down to the poor black section of Annapolis, Maryland, made sure that every black family had a turkey, although he couldn't be a father to his own family. There was a godliness about the man. Even though he did not know God, there was something right about him that was kind and loving, although he lacked the tools to be the kind of godly father and husband he needed to be in his own home. As a result, my father's parents were divorced for a long, long time. But when my father's father was dying, a call went out. He was dying in a Baltimore hospital. A call went out for all of his children to come and be with him at the hospital. Only my father went. And as he was hooked up to everything imaginable, he took my father's hand and said, "Forgive me, son." And my father said, "I forgive you, Pop." Mm. And my father's father died. And I have believed with all my heart, Drew, that from that moment on, that whatever evil was whatever bind, whatever...
Broken,
you know,
there.
It was broken.
Yeah.
It was broken when my father forgave.
Wow.
The power of forgiveness, I don't think we can even imagine the power of it.
No.
My dad didn't know spiritually what he was doing when he forgave that man, but it unleashed something powerful spiritually.
Yeah.
And the benefits of that are in his children now. All three of us have known and loved the Lord since an early age. My brother had a struggle. He He didn't come to know the Lord till much, much later in life, but he's been serving the Lord and making up for it ever since then.
This is your preacher brother, David?
It's my preacher brother, David.
Wow.
He went through many years of drugs my brother had an intellectual battle for his soul.
Right.
My brother's a brilliant, brilliant man. He
very analytical guy.
Very analytical.
Yeah.
He would study Dostoevsky and Tolstoy and put it together with Nietzsche and then try to get a little bit of truth from all these great thinkers, thinking that if he got a little bit of truth, it would all ultimately, he'd have a puzzle that is all put together.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he, you know, gave up at midnight one night in a farmland somewhere, just got on his knees and prayed the Lord into his heart, and he just gave up the battle. He just couldn't make it sense out of it, other than in Christ Jesus. It just didn't make sense otherwise. And he stopped running, and he embraced it. And he is one of the most powerful Bible teachers.
Yeah.
Because he's so human. He never preaches at or down to anybody. It's all about his own humanity and his own, you know, sinfulness. And we as a Christian body have got to start being so much more inclusive. We of all people, I mean, we've been so exclusive. It's like this little club you can't get into unless you follow our rules.
Yeah, you're welcomed into this fortress, and next thing you know, you're a kingdom monitor. You know, you just you stand around and wonder, well, how come they're coming in here, you know? You should come speak at my pub church.
What's your, do you have a church in a bar?
Yeah.
Now I know what I was born to do.
Yeah. Except, you know what, the first week we did it, I got together with some real spiritual people and we prayed in the place.
Yeah.
The second week we were too busy to pray.
Right.
It burned down.
Hello?
Yeah, the pub burned down.
Uh-oh, so now where are you? There's lots of bars. Did you just go to a different one?
Well, we had to go to a large kind of fancy-schmancy meeting area at a Christian camp I'm involved with just down the road called Teen Ranch. So it worked out quite well. It's working out okay, but we got to get back there.
You got to get back there because that's where Jesus preached.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is this new musical that I have coming out this year, and I would truly covet. I don't covet anything in life except for the prayers of believers. I would so ask for your listeners' prayers about this. It's the story of Amy Semple McPherson. Are you aware of her, Drew?
Only from reading the stuff on you.
You know, she was originally Canadian, Ontario.
She's the Four Square Church founder.
She founded the Four Square Church. She also built a temple in Los Angeles that is still there, still taking care of 50,000 people a week, drug addicts, AIDS victims, prostitutes, drunks, homeless, anybody with a needle in their arm or an ache in their heart, and they take care of 50,000 of them a week still. She saved 1.5 million people from starving to death during the Depression. But she was also married 3 times, divorced twice, was tried in the trial of the century, although charges were dropped, and she died of an accidental drug overdose at the age of 54. Her story is the most unbelievable story I've ever heard in my life, and I've interviewed the biggest movers and shakers of our day.
So why did this one rock you?
She just blew me away. From the first time I heard about her 30 years ago to the fact that I know her grandson. I went to college with a gentleman that was engaged to my girlfriend. That was her third husband's grandson.
Is it Oral Roberts?
I met one of my best friends is Jantina Flessing from Oral Roberts University, and for a short time of her life, she was engaged to a man who was Amy's grandson.
Okay, all right.
Then Frank, when I got together with Frank, had gone to her church as a child and remembers her floating by with the arms full of roses and her preaching, and she was just bigger than life. She was the first woman to ever have a broadcast license, first woman to ever cross the country in a car without a man, and that was in the 19-teens. Unbelievable. That's when you had to crank it up, and there weren't roads. She was unbelievable.
Wow.
So telling her story has just been an extraordinary experience. I sat with her 94-year-old daughter. She wasn't 94 then, she is now. Her 91-year-old son. They're both still alive.
So this is premiering later this year, is that right?
It comes this fall.
This fall.
And I would pray that God would, you know, anoint it, because it's talk about out of the box.
Yeah.
People are going to come to see this. They're either fascinated by Amy or fascinated by me now doing theater, or they come because they want to rip me to shreds again.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Get in line.
Yeah.
Or they come because they have seeking, hungry hearts. Or they just come because they love theater and want to hear a good story.
Wow.
I don't care why they come. I just want them to come.
Exactly. Well, it's like the Gibson movie. Who cares why they go?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. They're all going to have their own personal reasons. And only God knows what all those hearts are saying and feeling. But Amy is, I have three musicals opening within the next year. And every one of them is like a brand new, old-fashioned musical. All we have anymore are revivals. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Of old standards, yeah, yeah. Wonderful classics, because it's so expensive to produce new works. And yet, you know, that's what the Lord has called me to do now. And that's, people say, how are you liking retirement? And I just laugh. When I retire, I'll let you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
I've been working harder and more diligently and more fruitfully than I've ever worked in my life, and it's a thrill.
Folks, we're on the phone with Kathy Lee Gifford. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, and you need, and this isn't just a shtick to say on the show here, a little sales pitch, but it has weight, it has merit, it has credibility. You need to get her CD, Gentle Grace. Sit down with a cup of coffee, grab the little devotional book that goes with it, and let God minister to you through Kathy Lee Gifford, because there's just 7 years or probably even more, but mm-hmm. of supernatural grace that has worked through Kathy Lee and is now going to go out to the general public. And I think it's brilliant. Now, we're near the end here, and I want to just ask you a couple of last questions, Kathy.
Okay.
The kids.
Well, Drew, you know that they weren't my kids.
Excuse me?
I got them from Central Casting.
Was there?
And the minute I quit the show, shoot, I was sick of feeding them. I put them back. Well, you know that isn't true, because Cody came barreling through here a few minutes ago.
Yes, we have the evidence.
Oh my gosh, if he grows into his feet, I will not be able to afford to feed him.
No.
This child, he's 14. He is all boy. Well, that's the good news. He's all mouth. That's the bad news right now. His sister Cassidy is 11 almost, and they're doing great. Thank you for asking. They are, when they're not driving me crazy, they're the absolute delights of my life.
Well, we had a son, and then a year later you had a son, and then we had a daughter, and a year later you had a daughter.
You've always been my inspiration.
I know. I just wanted to say thank you for following in my steps and for looking to me for advice and direction.
I only follow in Jesus's and your footsteps.
Yeah, thank you.
I just want you to know that.
Now, seeing as... Stop. You're killing me here. Seeing as though Mother's Day is tomorrow.
Yeah.
First of all, happy Mother's Day to you, even though you wish that to me.
And
thank
to your
you.
Wife. Thank
yes.
you.
Well, my wife, that's a whole other show. She is just...
Well, I'm unemployed. I got time.
Oh, my palms are sweating because she puts up with so much stuff. There's no... The only reason she is still with me is because of the supernatural power of God.
And the only reason I'm still with Frank, and the only reason Frank's still with me, frankly, I'm going to put myself right in that equation.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing.
I don't think it's, I mean, let's face it, marriage is not a normal thing to be.
No, who designed this thing? Huh?
It was gone. Perfectly, but yeah. Adam and Eve screwed it up.
Yeah.
It was a lovely, lovely concept. You know?
As long as we were naked and in the garden.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Naked and in the garden sounds good to me right now, although it's a little chilly, baby. That it was all designed to be so right. And as usual, we screw it up because we want to be God. It's just the same. We know. We know the gist now.
Yeah.
But, that's why this song. The people that actually get it right are my heroes.
Yeah.
How in the world do they do that? And you know the irony, though. If you talk to Billy and Ruth, they'd say, "Oh, honey, we didn't get it right. You don't know the stuff we, you know."
Yeah.
Everybody's got a story. What they would say is the grace of God.
Oh yeah.
They would immediately say, "Honey, we don't have any secrets except that we put God first, you know, and that's the key to it." Every time in my life, whether it's my marriage, my motherhood, my career, my being a friend, anytime I don't put the Lord first, I've made a mistake right then.
Well,
right
you kind of pulled back from the big Regis and Kathy Lee thing, and I would imagine that the mothering side of you must have wanted to kick it into high gear at the end of that. I mean, there's a quote here saying, I remember sitting there opposite Lily Tomlin interviewing her for about the 10th time in 10 years, and I remember saying, I don't want to interview Lily Tomlin one more time.
No.
Nothing wrong with Lily Tomlin. It's just...
I wanted to work with her is what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah, you wanted to...
I can't... My daddy used to say to me, Drew, when I was a little girl, honey, if you can do something with your eyes closed, it's time to do something else.
Right.
And I think... Listen, there's my thinking, and you tell me, I could be all screwed up. If we are created in the image of God, which I believe that we are, that means that we are creators as well, because He is a creator. So when we are creating, we are doing what God has created us to do. Now, when we are repeating ourselves over and over and over and over again. We have distanced ourselves from being a creator. And we wonder why we're frustrated. We wonder why there's no thrill. We wonder why we don't feel fulfilled. It's because we've settled into some sort of very comfortable rut. And that can be true for a pastor. It can be true for, you know, it's easy to say it if you're an actress or a talk show host or something, because but it's true if you're a plumber. We got to find new and ingenious ways, out of the box again, ways of keeping it fresh. And we know that's true in our relationships.
You know, I wrote a letter to James Taylor a few weeks ago.
Oh, I love James Taylor.
Yeah, I had a chance to meet him in Sydney after a concert, and I said to him, look, I said, I'm pastoring up the Blue Mountains. I said, I want to chat with you about three of the most favorite things in my life. I said, a passion, a forgiveness, and hope, okay?
Right.
I said, I want to talk with you about those, but how do I do that without getting stopped by all of your line of defenses that you've got there?
Right.
And so he said, look, write me, and he gave me his address, so I wrote this letter. And one of the things that I was processing with him is the passion. And I really look around me and I see an absolutely passionless society, the Western desensitized, numb fog that we're living in here in the West is an absolutely scary thing. And for those who criticize the passion of the Christ as being to this or to that, I remember going to a forum speaking on it, and I said, come on. I said, Jesus is not only the conversation around the water coolers, he's finally the conversation in the skate parks, where we're living in the whatever generation, nothing phases me. We need the 2x4 across the head.
We certainly do.
And I just, I don't know, you've always seemed like a passionate lady. You've always seemed like a passionate lady. But maintaining the passion seems to be in direct correlation with some kind of spiritual journey.
Yes.
Would you agree with that? Or?
I would completely agree with that. And it's so funny you would mention James Taylor, because James was one of my earliest and most profound musical influences. And I've met him on occasion, and I just adore him. And you know what? Let's pray for James Taylor, too, because, I mean, I think he's a very godly man, and yet I don't think he's a brother in the Lord, as you and I would.
That's exactly the way. On my website, I've got a link to his site, and it just says, pray for the man.
Oh, yeah, isn't that cool? Yeah, there is a guy in the gospel music world today. I don't know if you... I just was introduced to him this past week. I am so insane about this guy in a loving Christian way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Have you heard of Chris Rice?
No. Oh, hold on. Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
He's like the Christian James Taylor.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. His songs are so fabulous. He's so amazing. And apparently, he's driving his press people crazy, because all he wants to do is lead these kids' seminars. He does these camps for kids and stuff. He doesn't want to go off and do interviews. Doesn't want to do the world tour. And he's selling like hundreds of thousands of records and stuff, because he just speaks so eloquently and simply and beautifully, the way James does about worldly things. About that seems to be putting him down. And I'm not.
No.
I would never. I have enormous respect
for
James.
But he seems to be. He has more of a spiritual thing about him than I would say 90% of the people I went through Bible college with.
Hello. He really does. Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally and completely agree with you. It's almost like Joni Mitchell does, too. You know, there's certain people that just have a...
Okay, what about Sting?
Sting, cool, isn't he?
Have you read the lyrics on his latest CD?
No, I haven't got it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You see, here's another theory that could be completely clam. I just made up a word.
Yeah, clam.
It's just so clam.
Can I start that here in Canada?
Yeah, let's start it in Canada.
Okay.
It looks like half-baked, clam-baked,
okay.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a song on the record, if you've heard it, it's called Finally, the third song on my record.
Yes.
It's about people that have achieved everything. And I wrote it based on the scripture, what does it profit a man or a woman if they gain the whole world and they lose their very soul? Having sat there next to Regis for 15 years, and 3 years before that at Good Morning America, where every mover and shaker in the world came through, they all seemed to have the world by the tail, Drew. They had women, they had money, they had success, they had adulation, they had everything. But until you find the Lord, you really have nothing. You have nothing will fill your sky until you finally find Him. And I know that sounds arrogant, but it's just because I'm so passionate about these. Goodbye, Cody. I love you. Still hadn't learned. That's my boy. Still on the phone, Cope, but I love you.
Yes.
Anyway.
So they've got it all.
No, they've got it all. And I think somebody like a Sting and a James Taylor, these kinds of people, aren't looking for any more fame and
fortune. No, no.
They've had it. They know the cost of it. They know how empty it is. People couldn't believe I could walk away from millions of dollars a year and stay home with my kids and ride at home and stay in my flannel pajamas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, one of the lines in James Taylor's song says, how could I ask for anything more? I've got everything I haven't. Oh, what did he say? I've been given everything, basically, is the
right.
point. How could I ask for anything more? And he just seems so blessed and thankful, and he recognizes that he's blessed.
He does.
That's
but
a key
he also
thing.
Has had a second chance with this new family.
Oh, yeah. And what, like the twins are like two, are they now?
I think they're almost three. I wouldn't know. I'm not exactly sure, but I saw that happen with Frank when he got a second chance. And it's almost a metaphor for what happens to all of us spiritually when we get forgiven and we get another chance.
Oh, tell me about
and,
it.
And another chance to start again. And the Lamentations talks about, you know, your mercies are fresh every morning, Lord. There's a great new song. You've got to get Chris Rice's new record.
Okay, even, all right.
I mean,
all right.
Buy mine, of course, because all the money goes to Cassie's place and Cody's house. But in June, this new record comes out. It's called Short-Term Memories. I was thinking of Sweet Baby James.
Yeah.
Short-Term Memories
okay.
by Chris Rice.
Sorry, what's it called again?
Short-Term Memories, which now I'm getting the joke.
Yeah, thank you.
You sure you want to be a stand-up
yeah,
comedian?
I am a gifted guy, just in other areas.
I'll take your word for it.
Other areas. Yeah. Okay, so Chris, stop. Okay, so
I'm
Chris,
telling you.
You are. I didn't want to say it again. That's repeat. Okay, short-term memory.
Short-term memories.
Memories, yes.
Yeah, you're the one with the short-term memory.
Okay, got it, yep.
And it's by Chris Wright.
Okay.
And I don't know the man. Never met him,
okay.
But I was walking out of the Gospel Music Association. They give you all kinds of stuff. And
hold on. This is a promo for Gentle Grace. What are you doing going on and on and on about Chris Rice and his stuff?
Because I haven't heard music like this in years.
Really?
I haven't heard music like this in years. And I love Michael W. I love Curtis, Stephen Curtis. I love so many of them. But
sure.
There is something anointed about this man's words that are, and his music and his voice, everything about it. I don't even know what he looks like.
Right.
But I just feel like I need to share him with you. You started talking about James Taylor, and that was it. You will love it. I promise.
Okay. All right. I got it down.
If it weren't a sin to download, I would make a copy of the one I've got and send it to you. I tell you what. I will do that tomorrow if you will agree to buy 10 when they come out in June.
I will. Ten, did you say?
10 and give them as gifts.
I will do that.
Okay.
I will do that.
Deal, banana peel.
Hold on. Now, hold on. I got to write this down because it's a real promise. No, because I don't want, you know, if I say it just comes out of my mouth, it goes off in the air. So,
okay.
So promise.
Believe me, your wife will remind you.
Kathy, I know. She reminds me of everything. Kathy, Lee. Okay. All right. I got it there. All right. Other women, mothers in Hollywood who are followers of Christ who we should be praying for because I cannot even imagine. You know, sometimes we think, oh, it's hard to be a Christian in my little world. Give
right.
me a break. I cannot even imagine.
That used to bug me, I got to admit, when people would be so critical. I remember one time Renee Russo was on our show, and she'd just done the Thomas Crown Affair, and she had this topless scene in it and everything. She goes to the church I used to go to, church on the way out in Los Angeles in Sherman Oaks. In fact, Jack Hayford, who's the pastor there, had gone to Amy Semple McPherson's Life Bible College.
All right.
So that was another link.
Another connection, okay.
So I asked her in my dressing room, I said, Renee, I said, what's Pastor Jack think about this? And she goes, I don't want him to see it. And I said, I'm sure you don't. And I said, well, how are Christians reacting? And she goes, well, they love to give me their opinion.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I know.
So pray for Renee Russo.
Well, this is what she said, Kathy. She said, what I say to them, I said, if you really love me, you'd pray for me.
Yeah.
So pray for Renee.
Yeah.
Pray for Angela Bassett.
Okay.
Pray for Patricia Heaton.
Yeah.
Pray for, oh gosh, they're the ones that are coming to mind.
Yeah.
There are many more. They're just not coming to my mind. I'm
no, that's
sorry.
Good. That's
I've,
good. Don't
I, every, I've prayed for Mel ever since I read that he, first of all, was making the movie. Second of all, said, I didn't direct this movie. The Holy Spirit did. I just directed traffic. And
yeah.
I went, oh, here we go.
Yeah, look out.
Here we go. So Frank and I actually ended up investing in the movie beforehand. We had two screenings of it here at our house.
That's like investing in Microsoft way the heck long ago. I mean,
what was
a return.
It was really just an 8%. It wasn't one of those, you know, we're not going to become millionaires.
No, but
it was an investment in eternity, and we're going to put all the money back into either Mel's next project or our musical Hurricane Amy.
Sure.
It's all kingdom building.
Yeah.
And it's all, you know, it's all mission.
And all the money from Gentle Grace is going to Cody's house?
Cody House and Cassidy's Place.
Cody House and Cassidy's Place.
Years. Cassidy's Place has been their aid. Cassidy's Place is by far the bigger, which she loves to remind her brother of. I was there yesterday, 150 little children every day, born in families, born with crack addiction or neurological problems from their parents being crack addicted,
yeah.
AIDS virus, full-blown AIDS, unbelievable. And yet it's a very happy, sweet, tender place where these kids have a chance to have a childhood.
How can I give more exposure to those places here in Toronto?
I could. It's all on my website, okay. KathyLeeGifford.com. Next time you're in New York, I want to meet you, I want to take you to lunch, and I want to give you a tour.
Oh, stop.
Come on.
Be still my heart.
Come on.
I don't know any big people. Like, you know.
And after you meet me, you still won't.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Although I've gotten a little big since I left the show. I don't want to talk about it.
Here's a good quote. After so many years of being in front of people, you said, it's the simple things like not wearing pantyhose or putting on makeup every day that I love.
Yeah, I tell you, it's so true. But let me tell you, I had no idea how much my pantyhose did for me.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's not pretty. You turned 50.
I'm getting a visual here. It's just, it's not a good thing.
Well.
Listen, folks, I have, well, first of all, you're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, and we've been on the phone here with Kathy Lee Gifford, who has graciously, you probably do this with everybody. I interviewed Pat Boone a few weeks ago.
Oh, I love Pat.
And he goes overtime with everybody because he's got the same heart as you.
I used to go to Bible study at Pat's house.
Really?
In Beverly Hills.
The one beside the Osbournes?
Right beside the Osbournes, right across the street from the Beverly Hills Hotel. Yep.
Wow.
Yep, I used to double date with Debbie and her other sister when I was, well, please don't ask.
Pat said,
I am so old. I remember Genghis Khan, okay?
Pat said,
he wasn't that bad. I don't care what people say.
I said to Pat, you know, what's it like to live beside the Osbournes? He said, oh, no, it was great, blah, blah, blah. He says, Ozzy came to me one day and said, he said, and I'll delete all the expletives
right
here. It was really great having you as a neighbor. He said, you're the only neighbor that never called the cops on us.
I know.
You know.
I know. Oh, Shirley and Pat, they are the real deal. They just are.
Are they?
They are just the real deal. Yeah, they love the Lord so much.
Okay.
So much.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I got to stop. Because you know what? It's important that I stop here because before I went to you, I thought, you know, let's open up the phone lines to mothers who want to be prayed for.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, just see how that goes. And I almost had an emotional breakdown because we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's about 5 ladies that phoned. One phoned afterwards because she didn't want to talk on the air.
Right.
And the stories that are coming out, you've got a mother who's got 4 boys, one who died, one who is an addict, one who is away from the Lord, one she doesn't even know where he is.
Oh.
Another one said that the heat and the water is off in their place.
Oh,
a daughter and a granddaughter living with her. I mean, the stories are just...
Let's
you know,
pray for them, too. Drew, do you have time?
Yeah, do I? Yeah, I have.
You want to pray this time?
Yes, please.
Okay.
God, it just seems... I'm sorry. It just seems so mechanical to stop that segment where we were praying for those people and then go to something else and then come back to it. It just... It seems interrupted, and my heart is still kind of there with those people's stories. And I'm frustrated that I can't do everything for everybody. But apparently you can, and so that's why you need to hear our heart cry. You need, please, to hear us crying to you, saying, help these women, these moms.
Yes.
I cannot even imagine. I mean, I've been close to the getting, not paying the rent thing and being flat out broke, but I just cannot imagine the circumstances these women are in, especially with children that they don't even know where they are. And I'm thinking about my own kids, and if, you know, they grow up and do the whole wander through the wilderness thing, man, that is going to mess me up. So please, with your supernatural hand, penetrate these women's souls.
Yeah.
Give them good night's sleep. But more than that, God, provide for them in hugely supernatural ways, so much so that you get some serious credit out of this.
Yeah.
Please, God.
Oh, Lord, may they know your grace.
Yeah, yeah. Very much, and we love you, and I'm part of me is aching for the time when we get to go to heaven, when you return. I don't know whatever the deal is, but part of me just kind of says hold off because there's so many people I love and care about who have not yet surrendered their life to you.
Yes, Lord.
So I guess it's up to you anyways, but We just want to stop and say that we love you and thank you for Kathy Lee. She just seems to be giving and caring for other people, and I'm wondering how many times her own tank runs dry. And God, I want you to fill her up with whatever you can fill her up with. You know how she needs to be blessed. I don't know her from a bar of soap. You know her intimately in a Psalm 139 way. And for Kathy Lee Gifford, the big Hollywood lady, can you just infiltrate her and surround her and wrap her in your arms and take whatever she's going to do, because she's got the platform, and just somehow, again, bring huge credit and glory to you.
Thank you, Lord.
Please.
Thank you, Drew.
Amen.
I pray that for your family as well. Guess who just barged in as well and wants to say hi?
Who's that?
Frank Gifford. You got a minute?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, hold on.
Thanks.
This is Drew Marshall. You're speaking live to millions of people in Canada. Okay,
hey, Drew, what you doing messing with my wife?
I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. I know nothing. I see nothing.
I come in, my wife's on her knees. She's crying. She's like, what's going on? I'm crying. Saturday, sun's out. It's beautiful.
Yeah, well, all I can say...
That's what you do, hon. Boy, you got some heck of a show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. We've had a good... Your wife is... how does she give so much and save for you?
I've never figured that out. I guess she takes it from me and gives to you.
Yeah.
I don't get much attention around here, really. What else do you want to know about it?
Yeah, well, let's keep going here. Tell me about the most embarrassing moment Kathy Lee has ever had in her life.
Well, I don't know. I just walked in here and it was pretty embarrassing. I couldn't figure out what she was doing.
She, on her knees.
Something's really going wrong somewhere.
That's right.
The most embarrassing moment she's ever had?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what? She's the most amazing creature, though. Nothing really catches her off guard or anything.
Is she a good kisser?
Oh, yeah. She's a good kisser.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of kissing.
Yeah. I just said to her at the start that I was, it was just phenomenally inspirational for way, way, way too many people. What you guys were able to process and come out on the other side with. My wife and I resonate fairly strongly with your story, So thanks for being willing to open up about it.
Well, I had no idea, but I did.
Well,
you're welcome.
Oh man, you just you're models for couples, whether you like it or not. Yeah, like the one in two marriages are in the toilet these days.
Well, more than that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Well, one day at a time, you know, just like the old drunk.
Yeah, Frank, what are you doing?
Moving right on out.
What are you doing in life?
Well, actually, I just shot about 78, so that's about as good as I can get.
Okay.
That was on the front nine. Then, unfortunately, I had to pay the back. Now, actually, I am having a great time with a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old, and even better time watching Kathy discover something totally new in her life.
Yeah.
And it's been exciting for all of us, particularly watching my 14-year-old turn into a pretty good catcher, and watching my 10-year-old turn into a little dancer, both of them doing well academically. And Kathy is one of the most incredible crossroads in her life.
Yeah.
So it's it's far from over. It's exciting, and we're having a great time with it. And I think particularly with her new album coming out, that's going to reach out and touch a lot of people.
Oh, tell me about it.
I sent Don Meredith her book, and I think it was very moving for him at a very important time in his life, and he was back. They live out in New Mexico, but he was back here the other day, and he was raving about it. So, if you can get to a hardcore Don Meredith, well, you can get to most anyone.
You can get to it. That's right. Well, Frank Gifford, just real briefly, thanks for being a consistent, and I would say, aside from everything else, a consistent model of integrity. All those years, you just had a genuine persona that came across, you know, doing the NFL thing. I mean, I had tryouts in the NFL and CFL as a punter, and, you know, I was going after that career, and it's good for us guys who are in that game to have guys like you to look up to. So thanks for doing what you did.
I'll give you back to Kathy.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Little bonus.
Well, that's
good.
A
little bonus for putting up with me for an hour.
No, it's been great. I appreciate it so much. And
You're an excellent interviewer, and you are obviously a true, sweet brother in the Lord. And I thank you for praying with me, and I pray for those. I'll continue to pray for those five ladies until I hear some good news from you, because we broke a cycle just in the prayer. I just believe that. for those ladies, and I'm going to continue believing with you for them. God knows who they are. I don't know their names. I don't even have to lift up their names to them. God knows who those ladies are.
Oh, yeah. For sure, for sure. Kathy, I'm just going to put you on hold for a second and say a proper goodbye to you, but thank you again in front of our listeners for spilling your guts and just being you. You know, you're just you, and God has made you you. That just sounded really corny, but anyways.
Hey, you know what? Same back at you, buddy.
All
God
right.
bless you, too.
Just hold on a second.
Thank you.
Folks, again, you are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We've just been chatting for a great length of time there. So just an amazing time with Kathy Lee Gifford, and Frank popped in there as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back with some more prayers for mothers. If you're a mother and you're wanting to be prayed for, you got 250,000 people listening to this show, and I guarantee a whack of them have some serious gift of prayer. So call us, and let's get praying for you for the rest of the Drew Marshall Show here on Joy 1250.